We live in an anxious world, don't we? Every day presents us with many opportunities to be worried and upset. The phone rings, it's the school, your child or grandchild is sick or in trouble. The coworker texts you saying the boss is upset with something you've done or not done. An email comes in, a close friend has died. The mail arrives, you've been summoned to jury duty. The newspaper is dropped off. There's yet another violent conflagration, conflict somewhere in the world. The app on your phone pings. The stock market has taken a sudden nosedive and your investment is at great risk. There is no shortage of events in your life and in mine that can rob us of our sense of peace. You may dream of that day when you're caught up with everything that you have to do and you can finally have some peace, or that morning when you finally wake up and can feel totally refreshed and not worried about the day ahead, or that time when you can take that vacation, finally, and not be anxious about what's going on back home. The problem is that day, that morning, that time may never come. The only way to try to find true and lasting peace in this world is in the midst of the messiness and madness of everyday life. One reason a lot of people don't feel at peace is because they focus too much on their flaws. They don't realize how loved and highly favored they are by God. So today, I want to talk with you about making peace with yourself. Some people go around feeling wrong on the inside. They've made mistakes in the past, but the guilt and the shame just won't go away. They keep thinking about things they did years ago, ruminating over the worst moments in their life, the big mistakes they've made. They want to forget, but the enemy keeps reminding them, trying to rob them of that life of peace and freedom that God wants for them. Others just don't like themselves very much on the inside. They look in the mirror and they're not very happy. They're fixated on their flaws and they're over anxious, overly worried about their shortcomings. They are not at peace because they are at war with themselves. Every year, I help out with a workshop, a retreat over the weekend for married couples who are struggling. It's called Retrovi. It's a wonderful program. And in that workshop or retreat, there always comes a point where we ask everyone to take out a piece of paper and write down a list of their best qualities. We give them a certain amount of time to do that. Then we tell them to turn the page over and write a list of their worst qualities. We give them the same amount of time. Guess which list is always longer? You guessed it. The results are always the same. The list of weaknesses is always far greater than the list of strengths. It never fails. But having those thoughts, you know, that we all have from time to time, more or less, that, you know, you're not good enough, you're never going to measure up, you're never going to be like other people and get ahead, you're never going to achieve your dreams, or you're all washed up, you've seen better days, you don't have a purpose anymore in life, you're never going to break that addiction, you're never going to lose weight and look good again. That's not what God wants for you. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." We all have weaknesses, areas that we need to improve upon. But going around feeling down about ourselves is exactly what God does not want us to do. You are not a finished product. You are a work in progress. God wants you to make peace with yourself and trust in his favor for you because he is working in you. The Bible says, God, who began a great work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. After Jesus was crucified, his disciples went into hiding out of fear for the future. They didn't know what was going to happen. Their leader was dead. Their friend was gone. The soldiers had acted with uncommon cruelty. And then the tomb was found empty. It was found empty, and the Romans were furious. The chief priests tried to cover it up. The city blew up. The city blew up with rumors and confusion. Anyone associated with Jesus would have been at risk of being arrested and crucified. Not only that, worse than that, the disciples knew that they had abandoned Jesus. They knew that they had walked away from him in his worst moment, in his time of greatest need. They must have remembered how Jesus asked them to stay with him, keep him company while he was praying in agony in the garden. And what did they do? They fell asleep, not once, not twice, but three times. Peter must have bitterly regretted denying Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. This is something you just can't walk back from on your own. What's done is done. I can only imagine how they felt. Not only that, but even when Jesus was alive, the disciples often got it wrong. They were slow learners. Jesus had to keep repeating himself, reminding them of his teachings, explaining his parables to them. They weren't quite getting it. One time, he was trying to impress upon them the importance of serving others. Guess what they did? They got into an argument about who among them was the greatest. Another time, they were in a boat, and a storm was tossing the boat on the waves. Jesus was in the boat with them, sleeping in the stern. But they were still afraid. They cried out in fear because they did not have enough faith that Jesus could still the storm and save them. Another time, Jesus sent them out with the power and the authority to heal people, but they could not even cure a young boy with a simple illness because they lacked faith. Looking back on all these faults and failures and mistakes that they had made, I can only imagine that the disciples must have been very down on themselves. No wonder they were hiding behind locked doors. No wonder they didn't have peace. But then Jesus came and he stood in their midst and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side, so that they would know the depths of his love and mercy for them. Did you know that Jesus will have those wounds for all eternity? They will never go away. They are a moving testimony, evidence of his boundless love for us. A few weeks ago, a woman came up to me after Mass, and she said that for the better part of her life, she had felt a tremendous amount of guilt and shame. She didn't say over what, but she just felt this guilt and shame constantly. She was not at peace with herself. She did not feel forgiven for whatever she had done. And then one day, for whatever reason, she had this spiritual moment that she couldn't quite put into words or why it happened or anything like that. But in that moment, God's love and mercy and acceptance rained down on her like it had never rained down before. And in that moment, and ever since then, she has been at peace with herself. You can be at peace with yourself too. When you come to believe, if you don't already, if you come to believe with all your heart and in the depths of your soul that you are loved, you are highly favored. You are deserving because God made you to deserve his love. Whatever negative self-talk keeps going on in your head, and I think that happens to most of us, it's time to turn that off. You are not less than others. You are not a lost cause. You are not a hopeless case. You are a beloved and precious child of God. Sure, there may be areas that you need to work on and improve in. We all have those. But God is at work in you. A few years ago, I tried to take up golf, and I used the word tried on purpose. It was a very frustrating experience. My handicap was off the charts. And if you know anything about golf, you know that's the wrong direction. I was frustrated most of the time, and I started wondering, why am I spending my one and only day off a week being mad and frustrating and cursing on the golf course? Just kidding about the cursing part. Anyway, you decide. Anyway, whenever I would swing that golf club, I would either miss the ball, bounce it into the rough, or hit it into the sand trap. I got more and more frustrated. But in his mercy, my golf partner, Wayne, who was 80 years old at the time and could outpace me every time on the course, in his mercy, he would very often let me take what's known as a mulligan. He meant I could try again. And you're not really supposed to take this mulligan thing. It's kind of against the rules. So Wayne would kind of look away, pretend not to notice. But he was offering me a chance for a do-over. This is what God offers us every single day. An opportunity for a do-over. To try and try again and again. Because we are all works in progress. In fact, God is working every day in you to make you more and more into his image. He doesn't want you to be unhappy with yourself. He doesn't want you to beat yourself up all the time over your faults and failings. In fact, that can actually prevent God's grace and favor from coming into you and working on you. Don't go around all day long with your faults and failures on the forefront of your mind. Sure, you probably have areas that you need to work on. I do too. Maybe you tend to get upset easily. You get mad and you have a problem with anger from time to time. Maybe you struggle with judging other people and you keep slapping your wrist, but you keep doing it. Or maybe you have a hard time forgiving people. You know, you hold grudges easily. Or maybe you tend to frequently become jealous or envious of what other people have. Whatever it is, the list could go on and on. But the problem with keeping an inventory of your imperfections is that it can tend to spill over into other relationships. People who don't feel good about themselves on the inside tend to project negative qualities like criticism, anger, anxiety, arrogance, insecurity, that kind of thing, and so on. Plus, you'll never be able to help God in what he wants you to do for him if you're stuck in a kind of state of self-doubt. Most of the Bible heroes who went on to do great things for God, they didn't think they were worthy of the task at first. When God came to Moses and asked him to free the ancient Israelites from slavery in Egypt, his first response was, "Who am I to do something like that?" He didn't think he could live up to the expectations, but God said that he would be with him wherever he went. When the angel of the Lord came to a man named Midian and told him to lead an army against a foreign nation that was bullying the Israelites, Gideon said, "My family is the poorest in the land, and I am the most insignificant in my family." The angel of the Lord promised that God would stay close. When Isaiah saw a vision of God in heaven, wondering whom he could send to be his prophet, Isaiah cried out, "I am a man of unclean lips." He meant, "I'm too sinful for the job of speaking for God." God fixed that. He purified his lips. And when God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet, he was only 16, 15 years old, something like that. And Jeremiah said, "I'm too young. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't have any life experience, God." God still sent him. You know, after Jesus showed his disciples his wounds, he said to them again, "Peace be with you." He said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Despite their abandonment of him, despite deserting him in his hour of great need, despite all their imperfections, despite all their faults and failures and mistakes in the past, Jesus still sent them out to do his work, to carry on his work in the world. And God wants to do the same for you, but he can't do that if you remain in a state of doubt. He can't do that. You have to believe that you are loved, that you are accepted, that you are chosen. You are highly favored because despite your imperfections, like Moses, like Isaiah, like Gideon, like Jeremiah, like all the disciples, you have been chosen to do a great work for God. Whether it's big or it's little, it is a great work for God. You know, until you've learned to find peace with yourself, you will never know the fullness of God's love and approval of you. You will never know how highly favored you really are. But once you come to make peace with yourself, then you will truly have peace in this world.